George, na ata hat le just lakshit o matak itas si qua qai qai nasla qai nasla o matuk qisillamti at memeti qis qisillo itas si at meetlik. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about tense, past tense and future tense, about how we know what form of the past tense to use, and if I have time I'll start getting into evidential endings. I'm projecting the daily activities immersion set, which we've been practicing with today. This, the material in the daily activities immersion set is very similar to what we're going to be working on in Unit 16, which is on news. One of the topics of Unit 16 news is past and future tenses. Another important topic of news is evidential endings, including the hearsay mood and the guessing mood. In level one of the daily activities set, all the sentences are in the present tense, so you don't have to worry about tense. There are no tense endings. Like most languages, present tense in Nuchanolf is conveyed by the lack of any tense endings. But Nuchanolf has lots of endings for indicating future tense, and one important ending for indicating past tense. To put that another way, there is only one past tense ending in Nuchanolf, which is mit, but it has many pronunciations. There are several future tense endings. The two most important are acht or akt, which we usually translate as will, and wittes, which we usually translate as going to do. The daily activities set uses the future ending wittes. As a general rule, if you're not sure which future tense ending to use, you should probably go with wittes. When in doubt, use wittes. Wittes is the most common future tense ending. It's used all the time. It combines with many different stems, and most beginners find wittes easier to pronounce than acht. There's a big pronunciation issue with acht, which is that most beginners have a lot of trouble distinguishing acht, the pronunciation of acht, from the pronunciation of the important ending atl. These are two very important endings, have totally different meanings, but they can be challenging to pronounce properly. Some people asked for further information on choosing between acht and wittes. Here are a few guidelines that will help you choose which future tense ending to use. Wittes is not a true future. It's rather about what we intend to do. So wittes is, technically speaking, not a future tense ending. It's a present tense ending about our intentions right now, about what we plan to do, what we might do in the future. Acht, by contrast, is a true future ending. It's actually talking about the future. As a result, you should generally not use acht unless you intend to convey some kind of certainty about the future. When you make a statement with acht, you sound like you really know what you're talking about. Like, si'ak acht tlach uwi. I will be first. Si'ak acht tlach uwi. That implies that I have the authority to say that I will be first, and that I know that that's going to, I'm very sure that that's going to happen. If you ask a question with acht, like his acht hak, will you be here? His acht hak, that implies that you're asking that person to commit themselves. On the other hand, his wittes hak, are you going to be here? His wittes hak is asking about your intentions, and it's easier to declare an intention and then go back on it than to make a strong future statement and then go back on it. Another place where we would generally use acht is in shall we questions, like hoch se tu acht hen, shall we take a break? Here acht is the more natural ending. Another case is in embedded clauses where we're talking about what things that might happen in the future, like let's talk about what we will do. Qua up aklin is an embedded clause meaning what we will do. There it is natural to use the true future akt. Umatsukatlin qua up aklin. Let's talk about what we will do. But there are many cases where you can use either future ending and they both work. Let's talk about the past tense now. As I've said, there is only one past tense ending in Nuchanalth, but it has many pronunciations, and those pronunciations differ quite a bit by dialect. Eventually, Unit 16 will have a clear and complete description of the rules for every dialect concerning how to pronounce the past tense in that dialect. That will probably not happen this weekend, though. So for now, your best resource for checking exactly how to pronounce the past tense in your dialect is the grammar reference that is available at my UVic webpage. We're looking at my UVic page, which is web.uvic.ca/tilde-worley. You'll see that there are links to research, teaching, and other links. If I go to the research tab, one of the first things is Nuchanalth grammar reference for LC language notes. This is a little out of date because this version is from 2015, but it has a lot of useful information in it. It's fairly technical, so it's not for most learners, but it's a great reference if you have technical questions about how to form words and sentences in Nuchanalth. Now we're looking at the grammar reference itself. It's 21 pages long, has a table of contents. You'll see that section 9 is on tense and starts on page 7. Now we're looking at the tense section. There are a few remarks on choosing different future endings. Then, starting at the top of page 8, there's some more precise information on how to pronounce the past tense in your dialect. Let's look at a couple of these. I won't go through every form of the past tense in every dialect because that would take too long. We'll look at Barclay, and then I'll talk about Cloquet, and then I'll talk about Hadasit, and that'll work for most of you. In Barclay Sound, the past tense ending is usually mit or it. It's mit after vowels and nasals, it after other consonants, but after stems ending in short vowels, conservative speakers say imt. Innovative speakers don't use imt anymore, and they would use mit after any vowel, whether it's short or long. And we'll see some examples of this below. Let's look at a Hadasit next. In a Hadasit, the usual form of the past tense is int, INT, int. This is the form that we get after most consonants. But after long vowels and nasal consonants, we get mit, 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 just like in Barclay Sound dialects. Just like Barclay Sound dialects have imt, that is, conservative speakers use imt after short vowels, conservative Hadasit speakers use umt, UMT, umt after short vowels. But that is also being lost, and innovative Hadasit speakers only say mit or int. Mit after all vowels and nasal consonants, int after other consonants. The past tense is easiest to pronounce in Cloquet and Hechquiet. There it is usually mit. That M is usually pronounced in Cloquet and Hechquiet. So you guys have it easiest when deciding how to pronounce the past tense. No matter what the stem is, you can always go for mit if you want. But there is also another form, moot, that is M long U T, moot, which is heard in Cloquet and Hechquiet, and that generally is used after one syllable stems. So if you said, I was at Tofino, for example, in Cloquet dialect, the easiest way to say that would be hich mitz nachix, hich mitz nachix. But you can also say hich mutz nachix, hich mutz nachix. You'll see that the T in the Hadasit and Moch-et-Mochlet past tense endings is in brackets. That's because the T sometimes drops depending on what comes after it. Generally speaking, that happens before endings that start with Q. So, for example, when you're talking about a deceased relative, like my late grandfather, that would be in a Hadasit, Naniksakin, Naniksakinx, Naniksakinx. That's Naniksu, grandfather, Naniksak, someone's grandfather, Naniksakint, a past grandfather, Naniksakinx, my past grandfather. Notice that the T drops, Naniksakint, Naniksakinx. This was a lot of very detailed and technical information, so I don't expect you to recall all that. Rather, I'm trying to show you how to read the detailed and terse information on this page. Let's take a look at the examples in 14. This shows us how the past tense is pronounced on a few different stems. I'll go through the Barclay ones, then the Central 2 ones. Central 2 applies to Tlokwe and Heskuit. Then I'll go through the Hadasit ones. In the Barclay sound column, we start with the stem wa, meaning to say. Said is wa mit. So wa ends in a long vowel, we use mit. Wa, wa mit. Up me, another example of a word that ends in a long vowel. Up me means yesterday or tomorrow. To say yesterday, we say up me mit. Up me mit. Sasin, hummingbird. Deceased hummingbird. Sasin mit. Tsik tsika, speaking. Was speaking. Tsik tsikimt is the conservative form. The innovative form would be tsik tsika mit. Weakaput means to pass away. Passed away in the past would be weakaputlit. I'm not going to go through the up and ut rows for now. Just be aware that when the past tense comes after the causative ending up or the passive ending ut, in some dialects there's some contraction goes on between up and mit and between ut and mit. Let's look next at the central to column. The past tense of wa in central to dialects, that is Tlokwe and Heskuit, is wa mit. Up me mit. Sasin, sasin mit. So far, it's exactly the same as Barclay sound. Tsik tsika mit. Weakaput mit. And so on. It is mit in every case in these examples. Now let's look at the Ahadasit column. Because this was in 2015, I was using slightly different dialect codes back then. EN was the code I was using back then for Ahadasit Nuchatlit. Now I use IN or I. But that EN column is intended to mean Ahadasit Nuchatlit. The past tense of wa in Ahadasit Nuchatlit is wa mit, up me mit, sasin, sasin mit, tsik tsika, tsik tsikumt, weekaput, weekaputlint, and so on. Are there any questions about how to read this information? It'll take you a while to understand and then memorize and then be able to use this information. The best way to get there is to understand where to find it and to know how to read these diagrams. Are there any questions about how to read these diagrams? Next, I will talk about evidential endings. I'll focus on three important evidential endings: the hearsay mood, the guessing mood, and the ending mutuk, which we usually translate as maybe. In order to describe these, it might be easiest to look at the word structure handout, which I will now navigate to. I'm showing you the curriculum page at quistoup.net. You'll see that there's a link towards the bottom to the word structure handout. We're now looking at the word structure handout for Barclay Sound dialects. This is a highly detailed and exploded diagram of the structure of words in Nuchanalth. You'll see that the core of the word is the root, which is towards the left side of the diagram. This is because Nuchanalth has almost no prefixes. Most of the affixes in Nuchanalth are suffixes. They come after the root. We divide endings into two main groups, suffixes and clitics. The main difference between suffixes and clitics is that suffixes are closer to the root, clitics are further from the root. So whenever you have a suffix and a clitic in the same word, the clitic will always come after the suffix. But in addition, there are many kinds of suffixes and many kinds of clitics, which are also ordered with respect to each other. The mood endings that we've been learning are a kind of clitic. You'll see mood towards the right end of the word structure diagram under clitics. And you'll see some of the familiar moods that we've been using: ma, the real mood; ha, the question mood; e, command mood; e, the article mood; itk, the definite mood; and yi, the weak mood. We're going to learn two new moods today, which are the hearsay mood and the guessing mood. The hearsay mood in Barkly Sound dialects is wein. Wein. W-E glottal stop I-N. At the beginning of class today, Grace told us some of her news, which is that the company she works for bought a bunch of salmon, and the spring salmon are big this year. The way I put that was, e-ih wein soha. The spring salmon are big. E-ih wein soha. Notice that the mood I use there is the hearsay mood. Wein. E-ih wein soha. If Grace were telling that news, and if she were speaking Barkly Sound dialect, she would say, e-ih ma soha. The spring salmon are big. E-ih ma soha. She would use the real mood because she knows that for a fact. She was there, she helped buy the salmon. Whereas from my point of view, it's hearsay. I don't know it for a fact. I only know it because Grace told me. In Nuchanal, this is a very important distinction that is reflected by the choice of mood. If you know some, you would use the real mood or the strong mood only when you know something for a fact. If you heard something from someone else, you should use the hearsay mood. In central dialect, in Grace's central dialect, which is a Hauset, she would state the fact as a ih ish soha, strong mood. The salmon are big. A ih ish soha. But I, if I were speaking Grace's dialect, I would report it as hearsay. A ih wa ish soha. A ih wa ish soha. You can see the forms of the hearsay mood in the beginner's mood guide. We're looking at the beginner's mood guide. The first moods on this handout are the real and strong moods. The very next mood is the hearsay mood. You'll see that the he/she/it form of the hearsay mood in Barkly Sound dialects is wein. So that's in the leftmost column there, wein. Whereas the he/she/it form of the hearsay mood in central dialects is wa-ish, wa-ish. That single dot after the vowel shows that it's a weak, long vowel. So it'll usually be pronounced short. It will be pronounced long only after a one-syllable stem. So, for example, let's say I asked Grace where Bev is. I might ask in central dialect, "Wasih mayath?" Where is Bev? Wasih mayath? If Grace had seen her that morning, she might say, "Hich ish ta'aqwith." She's at the hospital. Hich ish ta'aqwith. Notice that the vowel of ish is long because hich is a short stem. Compare that to a'ih ish soha. The spring salmon are big. There, the vowel of ish is short. If I then went on to report that news to Lindsay P, for example, I might say, hich wa ish mayath ta'aqwith. I hear that Grace is at the hospital. Hich wa ish mayath ta'aqwith. Notice that the vowel of wa ish is long because the stem hich is short. Hich wa ish mayath ta'aqwith. This is demonstrating both that in this situation, that information is hearsay to me, so I'm using the hearsay mood, whereas it's fact to Grace, so she would use the strong mood. That example also illustrated the weak long vowel of the hearsay mood, wa-ish. It is pronounced long only after a one-syllable stem like hich or wick. After most stems, it'll be pronounced short. The facts are similar in Barkly Sound dialect. If Grace and I were speaking Barkly Sound dialect, she might say, hich ma ta'aqwith. She's at the hospital. Hich ma ta'aqwith. It's a fact to her, so she would use the real mood. To me, it's hearsay. I would say, hich wein ta'aqwith. Hich wein. She is at, I hear, the hospital. Hich wein ta'aqwith. That was a brief introduction to the hearsay mood, which we are now adding to our repertoire of moods. We're also going to learn about the guessing mood. The guessing mood is pronounced kacha, and it means that the information is neither a fact nor hearsay, but an educated guess. For example, in Central Dialect, if I think Bev's at the hospital, like I saw Grace talking to her on the phone, and it sounded like the sounds were coming from the hospital. I know Bev has a reason to be in the hospital, so I might say hifkacha ta'aqwith. I guess she's at the hospital. That means I don't know for a fact, and no one's told me, but I have a good reason to think so. So we'd be comparing these three moods: real or strong for facts, hearsay mood for things you hear from other people, and the guessing mood, kacha, for things that you have good reason to think are true, but you don't know for a fact. We'll learn one more evidential ending, which is the ending matuk. Matuk. Many of you are familiar with matuk, but you don't know exactly how to use it. Matuk is a suffix that we usually translate as maybe. So matuk is also for making guesses, and we'll be comparing matuk, kacha, wa-ish, we-in with the real and strong moods. This lecture has been a brief introduction to the choosing which future tense ending to use, akt versus wittes. Also knowing which form of the past tense to use, which differs a lot from dialect to dialect, as we've seen. And it was also a very brief introduction to some important evidential endings, that is, endings that qualify the information we're talking about. We started by using the real and strong moods to make statements. Now we're going to be making statements using the hearsay and guessing moods as well, and in addition to those, the suffix matuk. And we will continue with this tomorrow. Chooch, hasik atlah.